We're looking at the person of Peter in the series of Peter, and the title of this evening's message is Tailor Made. What's that about? Well, we'll look. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word tonight, this would be helpful to us and help us to rest in your plans and purposes for our lives, as Peter learnt to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I am involved with different families and see the issues that come up in their lives, I am absolutely stunned by what some Christians go through, what the Lord takes some Christians through. I see good and godly parents dealing with issues out of proportion to what you would expect from the way that they're following the Lord. And I see some Christians who are half-hearted, who need a wake-up call, sailing through life without God seeming to send any trials at all their way. From the outside, it seems that with some Christians, God deals very severely. And with other Christians, it seems from the outside that God deals very leniently. And we must ask the question, why is this? How does God go about apportioning trials to one and not the other? And how will we respond to this apparent inequity? Well, the Lord's very last interactions with Peter before he ascended into heaven are going to help us with these questions. In John chapter 21, Jesus reinstates Peter with a threefold command, a threefold recommissioning, if you like. In verse 15, John chapter 21 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my lambs." In verse 16, he says, "Tend my sheep." And in verse 17, he says, "Feed my sheep." So there's this threefold recommissioning of Peter. And then comes a prediction of how Peter would end his life. Peter would have persecution. Persecution was in the Lord's life plan for Peter. Persecution and death even. Verse 18 we read, "Most assuredly I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself," in other words, you put on your belt, "and walked where you wished. You had freedom. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." In John chapter 21 and verses 18 through 23, we have some interactions between Peter and his Lord. And we can make two observations from these verses that are going to help us to deal with God's individual planning for our lives. Help us understand God's individual planning for our lives. The first observation that we can make on God's individual planning for our lives is we can trust God's individual plan for us. Of course we can. We can trust God's individual plan for us. Now, the last time we saw, the Lord questioned Peter three times about his love for the Lord. And each question is kind of a step down from the previous question. And it goes like this. Question number one in verse 15. "Do you sacrificially love me more than these?" Question two in verse 16. "Do you sacrificially love me?" Question three in verse 17. "Do you love me with a brotherly love?" So we saw the Lord might have to question Peter about Peter's love for the Lord, but we also saw that the Lord, that Peter would never have to question the Lord about God's love for him. Whatever ebbed and flowed in Peter's life, Peter could be sure that God loved him, where his love might wax and wane for his Lord. It's in the context of this love that the Lord says to Peter in verse 18, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning round, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. So the Lord loved Peter. We've just established that. And now Peter turns around and sees this other disciple, it says, whom Jesus loved. So Jesus loved this other disciple whom we know to be John. The Lord Jesus loved them both Peter and John. Verse 20 again. Then Peter, turning round, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? So here we see the Lord has revealed to Peter God's individual plan for Peter's life, and in particular, Peter's death. And Peter asks, what about John? What's your plan for John, Lord? And the Lord answers Peter, in effect, Peter, that's not your concern. Your concern is for my plan for your life and that you follow me. Well, it's suggested here that the Lord had very different plans for Peter and for John. And indeed, the Lord did have different plans for their lives, as the flow of their life showed in the scriptures. And indeed, they died different deaths. So the Lord is saying to Peter, Peter, you are not to be distracted about, and you are not to be jealous of any difference in the plan between your life and my plan for John's life. Peter, I love you both. And Peter, you need to trust me. Whatever I do with John, you need to trust me for my plans, for your life. Trust is not stated, but it's implied by those words. What is that to you? Why are you bothered about John's life? You need to trust me for your life. Now, this is a beautiful display of God's wisdom. You remember that God's wisdom always chooses the best end. And God's wisdom always chooses the best means to the best end. So as God's wisdom chooses the best means and the best end in every individual's life, those choices are going to be different because we have different personalities and we have different situations. And God is going to fit his plan individually to each person. The plan of life that God leads us through is a display of his wisdom. His plan is tailor-made for each personality and each situation. No two plans will be exactly alike. He knows exactly what he is doing, and we can trust him for the plans that he brings to us. Peter continued to trust the Lord for over 3 decades. And towards the end of his life, he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So 3 decades later, Peter remembered these words of the Lord. The Lord had showed him how he would die. A report came in the newspaper this week of tailor-made diet plans. By examining your DNA, the newspaper report said, scientists are able to draw up tailor-made diet plans and tailor-made exercise regimes. And according to the newspaper report, it works. People really lose weight on these things. Well, if DNA can suggest tailor-made dieting, certainly the creator of the universe can tailor-make his plans for each one of our lives. Each plan is different, and yet there will always be some things in common between the different plans that God has for different people. God's tailor-made plan for each of our lives depends on his love and his care always for every individual. That doesn't vary because he loved John and he loved Peter and he will love us too. God's tailor-made plans depend on his wisdom always because he knows all the circumstances of each of our lives and he knows what he's doing with us and he knows us altogether and he will choose the best means to the best end. And Taylor Mann plans for each life depends on his power always. All three, his love, his wisdom, and his power are always common to each of our lives and his plan. He sovereignly brings to pass the exact plan for each of our lives. God's Taylor Mann plan will always, always have the destination of heaven for the believer. God's tailor-made plan for each Christian will always be Christ-likeness. That's what he's doing in each of our lives. That's what he's aiming to create, to form, to shape, to sculpture in our lives. Peter and John had different circumstances and deaths, but they each glorified God in their lives and glorified God in their deaths. Interesting that Jesus spoke to Peter of Peter's death. Most of us have no clue how we're going to die. The Lord's just not revealed that to us, but he did to Peter. That was part of the Lord's tailor-made communication to Peter. Peter was the one that boasted that he would die for his Lord. But when he was in hot water, he failed. And probably most of us would have done even worse than Peter. It's like the Lord is saying, "You said you would die for me, Peter. Peter, you will die for me, and you will glorify me in your death. You failed the first time, Peter, but you'll not fail the last time as I continue to work in your life and you trust me." Warren Wisby comments, "Anyone who yields himself to serve the Lord must honestly confront this matter of death." Now, Peter knew how he was going to die, and he was going to die in his service to his Lord, but that's a possibility for any of us. And that's why Warren Wisby says we must honestly confront this matter of death. Only when a person has settled the matter of death is he really ready to live and serve. Thus Paul also said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die gain." He was ready to die, wasn't he? And Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Paul says, I want to die like my Savior died. Dear friend, are you ready for the trials and the persecution that the Lord may have ahead for any of us? Are you ready to die for the Lord? We meet these trials by faith, as did the Thessalonian Christians. I forgot to put this verse on your sheet, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, if you want to make a note of that. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4 says, "So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." Paul says, we've noticed and we tell other churches about your faith through the persecutions and tribulations that you endure. We're going to need to trust God. We can trust God in his individual plan for our lives, even if that involves persecution, even if that involves dying for our Savior. Please, dear friends, know that God loves you like he did Peter, like he did John. And though you don't understand why God's plan for you is different to others, you can trust him. Amen. The second observation that we can make on God's individual planning for our lives is we must obey God's individual plan for us. We can trust God's individual plan for us. We must obey God's individual plan for us. Trusting God's plan is mostly trusting through trials, even when others don't seem to be going through them. Why me, Lord? And obeying God's plan is mostly about serving despite how others may be drifting and not involved. No matter what others are doing, I am going to serve the Lord. Let me read the key verses again, verses 21 and 22. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." You follow me. No matter what God is doing in others' lives, No matter whether other Christians are obedient or not, no matter whether no one will go with me, Lord, I am going to follow you. It is our responsibility to follow Christ. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow him. To quote Warren Wisby again, beware when you get your eyes off the Lord and start to look at other Christians. Looking under Jesus should be the aim and practice of every believer. It's a good thing to remember. Looking under Jesus should be the aim and practice of every believer. To be distracted by other Christians is to disobey the heart, To be distracted by other Christians is to disobey the Lord and to possibly get detoured out of the will of God. We don't want that. So we keep our eyes. Another way to put that is, don't look horizontally. Look vertically. Doesn't matter what God's doing with others. Our job is to follow him. Sometimes we can look at others in jealousy. One pastor confesses, I recall a critical time in my own ministry when I was disturbed because other pastors were apparently getting God's blessing in abundance and I was getting a meager measure, a meager harvest. I must confess that I envied them, but the Lord tenderly rebuked me with, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. It was just the message I needed, that pastor wrote, and I've never forgotten it. So sometimes we look at others in jealousy. Sometimes we look at others in frustration, right? Why don't they pull their weight? Why doesn't the Lord rebuke them for their lack of involvement? If they are his, he will rebuke them. In his time, in his wisdom, in his way. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If they're his, he will chasten them, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. One common example of this is Sunday morning pack-up, I guess. Sometimes people who are rostered on to pack up don't turn up. And sometimes they don't even tell us that they can't turn up. They haven't arranged anyone else or find a replacement. And so the job is left to others. Praise God, I haven't heard too much complaining about that. Those who pick up the slack seem to do it with a godly attitude. They just seem to be pleased to serve the Lord. But it's that kind of inequality where some people just don't take their responsibility. It's that kind of equality that can get our eyes off the Lord. Especially if those who seem to be so half-hearted are just sailing through life without any problems at all. No, we don't look around. We look up and we look ahead for the goal that is set before us. We look to the Lord Jesus. We don't say, what about this bloke, Lord? We simply go about the business of following the Lord ourselves. We trust him through the trials and we obey him in our service, whatever he is doing in the lives of the brethren. One disclaimer, that doesn't mean we ignore others. We love and care for others. But if they get more blessings and they get less trials than I do, we know that our all-wise God is in control, who knows how to work out his individual plan in each life. Yeah, I know it doesn't look like it, but one time I was into competition swimming. I trained every day and I raced every week. I like long distance more than short sprints. Sometimes even after eight laps of the pool, the finish could be very close. One time I was in the lead, but in that last 15 metres after swimming 400 metres, I lost the race. It was explained to me after the race that because I was looking at where the others were at, I slowed my pace down and therefore lost the race. The trainers taught us to keep our eyes straight ahead and to keep looking at that finish line, not to be looking round about us. And that's really the message that the Lord got across to Peter, that he communicated to Peter in verse 22. If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Don't look around. Please, friends, don't compare yourself with other Christians. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Keep your eyes straight ahead, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Nolan and I tried to be very fair in our parenting, but we didn't parent each of our children in exactly the same way. They had different interests. They had different strengths and they had different weaknesses. So if human parents can adjust their parenting according to the particular needs and personality of a child, how much more does our Heavenly Father certainly know how to individually cater the circumstances of our life in a way that is absolutely perfect for our own needs. So don't compare. God has good reasons for what he's doing in your life, in my life. I agree with Dave Brennan. Dave Brennan said, Christ has very different but equally perfect plans for his servants. Sometimes we look at others and wonder, why has God done good things for that person but not for me? Why do I suffer when others don't? Why are things so hard for me? God places us in different situations for his perfect reasons. Instead of comparing ourselves to other believers, let's acknowledge that the Father, our Heavenly Father, knows best. That's Dave Brennan. And Henry Lute writes, when looking at others makes you feel resentful about the unfairness of life, change your focus, look to Jesus and follow him. Not horizontal view, but that vertical view, looking to that one who loves us. Jesus had challenged Peter to love him above all else. And Peter went on for the rest of his life. He didn't fail like he'd done that time in the courtyard of the high priest again. He didn't back down. Following the Lord Jesus Christ was the supreme evidence of Peter's love for him. That was Jesus' instruction. Follow me. That's all it was. Follow me. And it was an evidence of Peter's love. And it will be in our lives too. One instruction. Follow me. Follow me if I take you to the mission field. Follow you follow me if I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. Follow me if I want you to go and witness. Follow me and become like me. I want your character to be like mine. It's not rocket science. We follow him. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, these are simple words and simple messages, but how often do we look around like Peter and say, Lord, what about this one? What about that circumstance? Lord, we can trust you and we're glad to obey you, to follow you with all of our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.